emerges elated. For those for whom this week's election results were a welcome outcome, we pray tempered excitement and generous hearts. For those for whom the outcome of the elections this week were a painful step in the wrong direction, we ask that you would surround them with hope and that the light of Christ may break in and shine. We are a diverse nation, a diverse community. We are a diverse congregation. We do not think alike or see the world through the same lens, but we all serve the same risen Lord, the one who calls us to live lives of prayerful generosity, lives of abundant hope, and lives of generous grace. So guide us now in our living, that we may find ways to reach out to one another across division and divide and proclaim to the world the hope of Christ and the righteousness of God as we continue to work for a more just and equitable world. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Join me, please, in the call to worship. We have come to worship God, the living God, who calls prophets and teachers to bear witness. We have come to praise God, the Almighty God, who answers the forces of hatred and hurt with the power of the grace. We have come to worship God, all gracious God, who chooses even me and thee to receive the prayer to hope and our cause, God, our God. Let us pray. O holy God, like Isaiah the prophet, we stand in awe of your glory, feeling tremendously small and polluted by our sin and the sin of our society. Even so, you touch us with your burning presence, and we are made clean and whole. O God, our Creator, continue to build this household of faith into what you want us to be. O Christ, our Savior, lead us to do as you will. O Spirit, our power, strengthen us for the work of the kingdom and worship and service which is ours today as well as tomorrow. O Blessed Trinity, fill this place with these people with your presence, for yours is the love and the joy and the creation, now and always. Amen. Join me now, please, in our prayer of confession. God, our light and salvation, forgive us for those moments that we have walked in darkness, stumbling in your wilderness of quarrels, divisions, and bickering. You have called us to follow in your fish for people. But too often we think of our way as the only way to do your will. Forgive us, Lord, for the brokenness that we bring upon. God, the stronghold of our life, hear our cry and swim to unity. Send your Spirit to gather us as you desire us. Remind us that unity does not mean uniformity. Teach us that we resume the call to heaven. It's not ours, but mine of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Believe this good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors.
Thank you.
Our text this morning takes us to the book of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah's call story in chapter 6. Listen now, friends, for the word of the Lord. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and exalted throne, the edges of God's robe filling the temple. Winged creatures were stationed around God. Each had six wings. With two they veiled their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew about. They shouted to each other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All the earth is filled with God's glory." The doorframe shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. I said, "Mourn for me, I am ruined. I am a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heavenly forces." Then one of the winged creatures flew to me, holding a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. The winged creature touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed and your sin is removed." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom should I send and who will go for us?" I said, "I'm here, Lord. Send me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak. At this time, speak to us as only you can in the silence of our hearts. Amen. I told you all a few weeks ago, after the Central Arkansas Pride Parade, that one of the canon events in my life is always someone seeing me at the parade from high school and saying, "Oh, I didn't know you were gay." Another canon event in my life is when I go to my college reunions. If people ask me what I'm doing these days, I say, "I'm a Presbyterian pastor," and they respond with, "You're a what?" No one was more astonished than I was when it happened, but the looks on their faces let me know that that was not the expected path I had, apparently, 35 years ago at Jackson, Mississippi. God calls unusual people to do God's work. You know, we think about it. You think about, who is God going to ask to come and spread my word and do my work in the world? And our minds go to very pious people. Mother Teresa comes to mind. Right? And I'm no Mother Teresa. I don't know about y'all, but I'm sure not. Most of the preachers I know are not. But if we spend a little time with the biblical witness, we realize how God works in God's calling of prophets and preachers and proclaimers of the gospel. God called Moses, who had stage fright and a stutter. God used Rahab, who was a prostitute rejected by her community. God uses Peter, who was a coward, Noah, who was a drunk. All through the Bible, God picks the most unusual suspects to do God's work. Happens again today in our text with Isaiah. Isaiah finds himself standing before the throne of God. Now, most of us picture this scene the way the Renaissance painters described it, with billowing clouds and little chubby cherub angels. Like this, right? But the text tells us that when Isaiah is confronted by God on the heavenly throne, God is surrounded by the seraphim. Seraphim are these six-winged creatures. And they're described several times in Scripture. And they're bizarre animals. They have like 12 eyes and the head of a lion and the body of a serpent and the tail of a platypus or something. I can't remember. But they're not normal-looking things. They're frightening. They're terrifying. And the Hebrew word that's used in this text to say they were shouting, which, by the way, is usually translated stinging. The Common English Bible is one of the first ones to translate it shouting. is the same Hebrew word that is used for the cries of birth pains. They cried out with the pain of labor, the text tells us. These were no happy little angels singing. This was no romantic interlude wafting through the air. They were screaming and shouting God's name and God's word so loudly that the foundation beneath the door jamb was shaking, it says. And that is where Isaiah finds himself. And standing before that throne, Isaiah knows why he's there. He's a student of the Hebrew Scriptures. He knows if a living mortal finds themselves standing before the throne of God, it's because God's got a job for him. So Isaiah says, "It can't be me. I am a man of unclean lips," he says. "I am from a people of unclean lips." And God's answer, through the act of the seraphim, to touch his lips with the hot coal, is God saying, "I can work with that. I can work with a man of unclean lips." God doesn't say, "Well, what? I understand you're confessing with your lips, but what about your heart? What about your feelings? What about all these other things about you that are so wrong?" No, God says, "I can work with that. Who am I going to send?" And Isaiah responds, "Send me." Thus begins the story of the prophet Isaiah. The prophets have a pretty short life expectancy in the Bible. They don't exactly get welcomed where they go, because prophets are generally not sent with a message of, "Y'all are doing great." Generally, a prophetic message is not, "Hey, y'all keep on keeping on. God is all on board what you're doing." Prophets are sent by God when the Word of God needs to re-reach a people. And the number one thing throughout Scripture that God sends prophets to prophesy about is not, "You're singing the wrong hymns." It's not, "You're letting the wrong people in your church." It is, "You have become unjust. You have become unjust in your actions, in your systems, in your way of living, in your treatment of one another. You have become unjust." In the Old Testament, the terms for injustice and unrighteousness are used interchangeably all the time. Because to stand righteous before God is to be a just servant of God. So to be unjust is by definition to be unrighteous. So God sends Isaiah. "Who will I send?" "Send me," Isaiah says. This is the text every seminarian loves, because it sounds so much like our call stories. Getting drawn into the work of ministry. But it's not just about professional ministry. It's about any of us who feel called into the work of God in the world. "Who will I send?" "Send me." We've all answered that in some way, haven't we? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here on a rainy Sunday morning. In your life, you've heard God's call to say, "Come be a part of this community of faith." And you have come and become a part of it. "Send me." It's a great story. It's a fantastic story of call, a fantastic story of being a prophet, and it's a great, great tale to give us encouragement in a time when we need to go out in the world and we need to proclaim the gospel with all of our energy and do it every single day to bring God's justice into the world. It is a great text for that, as long as we stop reading there. "Then I heard the Lord's voice say, 'Whom should I send and who will go for us?' I said, 'I am here. Send me.' Then God said, 'Go and say to this people, Listen intently, but don't understand. Look carefully, but do not recognize. Make the minds of this people dull, make their ears deaf, their eyes blind, so they can't see with their eyes or hear with their ears or understand with their minds, and turn and be healed. Isaiah sounds like a wonderful, romantic story of a prophet being called to proclaim the word of the Lord until God says, but here's the thing, they're not going to understand the thing you're saying. They're not going to have ears to hear, or eyes to see, or hearts to give a damn. That's where I'm sending you. Might Isaiah have volunteered a verse too early? They're not going to get it. Prophets are not sent into easy work in the world. Because injustice is deaf to the gospel. Disorder is blind to the word of God. We are sent into the world to bear these things. Into a world that is built and designed to resist them. Part of me just wants to say amen right there.
Amen.
We'll get to lunch early that way, right, David? And if that's where the story ended, if that's all it was, if it really was God just giving us a fool's errand to take the gospel into the world and preach it to a world that can't hear and a world that can't see and a world that just doesn't give a damn, it would be a story of hopelessness. That would be the story of the Church of Jesus Christ. If that was our job, to proclaim the goodness and the justice of God in an unjust world that will not hear us, then yes, ours would be a fool's errand and the gospel would be a dead letter. But we know, through the bold witness of history and through the faithful work of the people of God, that there is power in the gospel beyond any other words we can speak. When we speak God's truth of justice and righteousness in the world, deaf ears are opened to hear. Scales fall from blind eyes. And the hardest of hearts is cracked wide open. I know that we have mixed feelings about this last week and the results of the election. To say that we are a community, a nation, a people divided is an understatement as much as it is a cliche now. But we're past the election. We're past the personalities. Now we're into the reality. And an interesting thing about prophets, God never sends prophets into the world against people. God sends them against systems. So much of the rhetoric I've heard the last few days from those who are living with disappointment in the wake of the election is, well, he's not my president. Sorry to say he is. You might not like it. I may not like it. Doesn't change the reality of it. Does not change my responsibility to pray without ceasing that he may have wisdom and discernment and lead us with justice and righteousness. Doesn't change that fact. Does not remove my responsibility to participate fully in the society around me. But sometimes that participation takes the form of prophetic witness. Not to say that person is bad, but when we see injustice in the world, say, this cannot stand. We can debate immigration policy until the cows come home. But you better not put another child in a cage. We can debate our understandings of gender all the live long day. But you harm one trans child. And you have crossed the line from debate to destruction. And the gospel of Jesus Christ will not abide that. Ours is the work of proclamation in a world that thinks it is black and white, but is all too much grades of gray. We are called to proclaim the gospel, the righteousness of God, the hope of Christ, to bear witness for the gospel in the world. And when we do that, friends, when the Church of Jesus Christ does that, then ears and eyes and hearts are opened. So my prayer for us, as a church and as a nation, is that we'll get past the personalities and we will focus on the policy, the things that are happening around us that demand the witness and in many times the counter-witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I won't lie to you. I do not look forward to the next 1,529 days. That's how long it is until Inauguration Day, 2029. I don't look forward to it. I don't look forward to the likelihood that my marriage will be invalidated. I don't look forward to the reality that children I love will suffer harm if some of the policies that are being proposed are enacted. But I'll tell you this. I will promise you this. I will continue to do my best to bear witness to the gospel and for the work of justice of God in the world, and do my best not to be distracted by whether I like an individual or not, or voted for them, or anything else. And I ask only this of you, no matter who you voted for, do the same. Be bearers of the gospel into the world. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ does not care about party or politics or personalities. The gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned with one thing and one thing only. And that is the well-being, spiritual, physical, mental well-being of every child of God. Not just the ones we like, not just the ones we agree with, not just the ones we understand. All of the children of God. Friends, God has called and said, "Who will go for us? Send me. Send me. Send us. We know what we're getting into. And the gospel and the children of God are worth it." Amen.
Who are you?
I'm a child of God.
What does it mean to be a child of God?
That I belong to God who loves me.
Then what is special about human beings? God made us in wondrous and diversity and identity in the image of God. What does it mean that we are all made in the image of God?
It means we are made to reflect God's goodness,
wisdom, and love.
So today, we are celebrating our act of stewardship as we dedicate our commitment to the work, the action of the faith of our church. Over the past few weeks, we have been challenged to make that connection between giving or stewardship and our vision for the church. This vision includes a bright and hopeful future for Westover Hills. It is an investment in this future, an investment in our congregation through welcoming and celebrating our people, worshiping and learning together, and advocating and serving those who are voiceless, helpless, and hopeless. That is what brings us together. We have written this vision together, and now is the time for us to support our vision together. Please consider adding your financial and, of course, your time dedication so that we can make 2025 a year beyond our imaginations together.
If you're visiting with us this morning, we would greatly appreciate if you would take one of the friendship cards you will find in the pew, and if you would mind putting that in the offering box, letting us know how we might get in touch with you. Or there's also a QR code on the back of the bulletin, and you are welcome to use that to include your contact information. We'd love to share with you more about life here at Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. Friends, all that we have and all that we are indeed gifts from God's loving hands. Let's return to God our tithes and our offerings. You will find the offering boxes at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church. Friends, let's return to God in prayer. Let's pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, You have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, You did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, You sent prophets to make known Your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor and oppressed has become Your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice, Your own desire. In the fullness of time, You sent Your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. It is in His name that we pray boldly this day, O God, for the needs of Your church and Your world. We pray, O God, that churches of all traditions may discover their unity in Christ and exercise their gifts in service of all. That the earth, our home, may be freed from war and famine and disease. That the air and soil and waters may be cleansed of all that poisons them. That those who govern and maintain peace in every land may exercise their powers in obedience to Your commands. That You will strengthen this nation to pursue just priorities, so that peoples may be reconciled, the young educated and the aged cared for, the hungry filled and the homeless housed, the sick comforted and healed. That You will preserve all who live and work in this city in peace and in safety and in harmony. That You will be with our leaders, especially Joe, our president, Kamala, our vice president, Donald, our president-elect, and J.D., our vice president-elect, Sarah, our governor, Frank, our mayor, and all those entrusted with public power, that they may be public servants above all. Merciful God, as a potter fashions a vessel from clay, You form us into a new creation. Continue to shape us day by day through the cross of Christ, Your Son, until we pray as continually as we breathe. Until that day when our very living is itself an act of prayer. For those who suffer this day in body, in mind, or in spirit. For those who find this world fearful. For those who find themselves feeling alone or isolated. For those that are known to You through their own prayers and through ours, and those that are known to You only in the silence of their hearts. We pray, O God, that You would give us eyes to see them and ears to hear them and hearts to love them as the children of God that we all are. O God, whom we cannot love unless we love one another, remove hate and prejudice from us and from all people, so that all Your children may be reconciled with those we fear, resent, or threaten, and live together in Your peace. Through the bringer of all peace in this world, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we gather to pray and pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Go into this day to love and serve the Lord with gladness and with singleness of heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us. and keep us in this and in every day to come. And one voice may all God's children say, Amen. Amen.